All right, today, Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. Time is 5:15, regular board meeting. All board members are present. Brisa is present on the phone. Item 1A, call to order, pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, 1B, adoption of the agenda.
I move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of July 14th.
I'll second that. Aye.
Aye.
All right, item 2, call to the public. We have one person that just came in.
Are you called to the public? Do you have anything to say?
Sorry?
Are you going to call to the public person?
Nope.
Okay, we're just checking. We're getting
that. I just had a reminder we had a meeting today.
Y'all are missing it. What are y'all setting up for?
Yeah, I wonder.
Nothing for call to the public. Item 3, consent agenda. Approval of the minutes, regular board meeting June 16th, and special board meeting July 1st.
I don't have any changes.
Me neither.
Me neither. B, presentation of the June financial report.
Yes, the financial report, there was just two payrolls in the month of June. The first one, 25, I believe it is, is larger than normal, but that is giving them the money from 012, the employment area, I think that is. And that's the amount on that that was given to them. And then the vouchers, they were closing out a lot of purchase orders and paying a lot of invoices that we couldn't do. And so there was three of those for the month.
Other than that, pretty normal.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what did you say that it was larger than usual because of what?
On the payroll 25?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was because we paid out the teachers out of the fund 012.
Oh, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good.
Any other questions?
I know. Okay. Risa?
No, me neither.
All right, moving along to approval of the June vouchers.
I second that motion.
Are you not going to do it for the whole consent agenda?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
It's that's part of the consent agenda.
Okay.
Not making a motion yet.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Is there any questions on the vouchers?
No.
No, I'm fine.
All right. And then D, approve surplus items to dispose of to clean up our grounds and storage areas.
All I have is there's like three old desks out there and then old volleyball standards that we talked about that don't fit. Nobody seems to want them. I sent an email out. But the main thing that I have is that list of books. I gave you guys a list today. It is just front and back partial. That's a list from Jewel DeVoe. She put that together 2 years ago. So we've got about three or four boxes of books sitting in a little closet we've been waiting to be able to give away. So my plan with that is that we will put those out for people if they want to take them to read, and then we'll find a place for them if we still have some left over.
In the library?
Right. Yeah, well, these are all like extras. Like we've already, had two, three, four set types of these. And I think she said none of these have been checked out for 5, 6, 7 years or more. So.
Anything, Brisa?
No, I'm fine.
You have anything? No. All right. E, approval of the agreement between Public Consulting Group and Local Education Agency.
All right, and that is just, it's something that we should be doing each year. I don't know why, but we haven't done it in the past, or at least lately, and it's basically just an agreement to be able to charge Medicaid for our services for students who qualify for it. We could get reimbursement for that. It's not a huge amount, but we are in this at anything we can to help make it through, especially with all the costs we're going to have this year for PPE and stuff. So.
Anything, Lisa, on that?
Nope, nothing.
All right, I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Moving on to action items for session discussion and possible vote on approval of Mr. Evan Hubbard to increase his weekly workload to 30 hours per week.
He has been working 25 hours per week. With the law change and everything that occurred, I want to say it was 2 years ago, at 25 hours he was still getting full benefits. In order to get full benefits, you're supposed to work at least 30 hours. So we looked at what we needed for the upcoming year, and the only two people that got back to me that they were interested in working in the library, and both have worked in the libraries before, were Evan and Mark Silverstein, and both were under everybody else's hours. So in order to bring them both up, Evan to 30 hours, and Mr. Silverstein to full-time para like everybody else, we used hours from the cafeteria. Therefore, we cut a few maintenance hours, and we are not using actually all of two of the Bo's hours either. She was working 25 hours a week, and so we're not using all of her hours.
She's doing how many? 25?
Yeah. So we're actually going to use about 20 hours a week. And so we're going to save a little bit there, plus saving some time in the custodial, which we talked about, the different areas that we could save there. So in the long run, I think it works out, and we still have a little flexibility with having the schedule. If we need some extra help with maintenance, or you know, yard or something with maintenance or some custodial, he's flexible enough to do whatever we need. So he would go to 30 hours a week, though, but that makes him so that he qualifies for what he's been giving him the last however many years is full-time benefits.
Anything, Lisa?
No, fine.
All right, I would like to make a motion to approve action item A.
I'll second that motion.
Lisa seconds. Aye.
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 I just have one quick question on the consent agenda. Was it Mr. Almost making the motion?
Yes.
And then Barisa seconding?
No.
Don second. Okay.
All right. Action item B, presentation, discussion, and vote on approving the new physical in school start dates of August 17 as per governor's executive order.
All right. So this really ties into what you approved last time, and that's basically to give me a little bit of leeway with when we're going to start and things. But the governor's order says physically start in the building no sooner than August 17th. We're just basically going to pass a motion that we're going to follow his guidance in the executive order. And then we are also going to be using a hybrid learning plan with packets in Google Classroom to get our school actually started on August 10th. There's a very good chance that there'll be more changes and it could be pushed back farther than August 17th, but as of right now, that's what we're looking at. And so, basically this motion is just to put us in line with the executive order, and it was recommended that we pass it, but ultimately last time you kind of gave me the authority to make the changes that we needed to make. But I think it's nice to have it in there that we're following the executive order so they know that.
Anything, Brisa, on that?
No, I'm fine with that.
Can I make a motion?
I'd like to move to adopt item B.
I'll second that. Aye. I figured that was a...
I'll take that as
3-0. Sorry.
So do we have your vote on that one?
It's hard when you're not here, isn't it, Brisa?
It is. It's
I feel
really
for
hard.
You. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
So we do have your vote on action item B?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to action item C, for a safe discussion and vote on approving Fund 13 bonus amounts for 301 PPP.
This basically is just the legal ramification of writing or signing off and the board approving what the individuals were able to get for their bonus. We had two teachers that achieved the full bonus, instead of it being 3 out of 6, they made it 3 out of 4 categories, so that's pretty good. Our two first grade teachers, Ms. Parker and Ms. Martin. Because we were able to make the Azella training or the Azella testing level, the rest of the teachers all had already passed one. We approved that if they passed two, they would get that bonus. The bonus is $1,300. All of the teachers will then receive the $1,300, except for the three teachers that were here less than a full year. Ms. Cornier will receive $1,053. Ms. Potlar will receive $1,014, and Ms. Pennon will receive $923.
She was the last one in anyway.
She was the last one
right.
in, yes.
Okay.
So that's just, and that's exactly following the agreement and the contract, so exactly how it is.
Anything on that, Brisa?
No, I'm fine on that one, too.
Good. You want to make a motion, Brisa?
I'm not there right now.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item C pertaining to the bonuses.
I'll second that. Aye.
Aye.
Action item D, presentation, discussion, and vote on approving budget for 2020-2021 school year.
This is approving the adopted budget. You've done the proposed. Nothing has changed in the adopted. Once it's the proposal is approved, there cannot be any changes made to the adopted.
And our deadline is?
It has to be sent to ADE by the
18th. Everything is just
adjusted. I would like to make it.
Not right now. Right. We'll be able to do an adjust. We'll be able to adjust.
Oh, yeah. Anything, yes. You know, afterwards we can do a revision on them, yes.
I would like to make a motion to approve action item D pertaining to the budget for 2020-2021 school year.
I'll second.
I'll second that motion.
Brisa second. Aye.
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 All right. Item E, presentation, discussion, and possible votes. Adding storage to the area in the old preschool playground.
You know, there's a memory garden over there, and so that's the only concern I have. We have like a... Remember we did that little memory garden for some people that we'd lost. And so there's the rock out there for Miss Rosemary. And I don't know exactly what's out there anymore, though.
Okay.
So
maybe when we're done with the meeting and we venture over, we could stop it. We could go right up through here and look at it.
Okay. Because I remember where it was. I just haven't been in that yet.
If you show me, then I know how I can do it. But I actually had the county...
kind of
it's called.
Survey.
But anyway, the guy who does all the permits,
yeah.
He was out here going through our water lines. And so then he and I had already talked about a possible shed and things. And so I just showed him where we were thinking about it. And he said that it would work out fine there. So he did. Now he had a visual, so it would be okay. But we're with all the COVID stuff, we're just so short on storage area.
Yeah.
That we got to come up with something.
On a different approach, and it's not bad to have something where you don't have to deal with that again. Too.
Well, and there's different things out there, and maybe vinyl might, a non-wood might be the best way to go, because we have so darn many termites that just love
yeah.
us around here. But so anyway, that's something that we can talk about. But what I wanted to do is put it there so that we could at least start looking at it, and we are going to have tons of stuff coming in. Donna's been shopping crazily to get all the different materials and chemicals to come in that we need for the start of the year once we get kids in the door. And actually, once we have teachers here, we need to stay, you know. So I just don't want to be storing any chemicals or anything outside once we get cold weather. And not that we get it that bad, but...
So not even heat and chemicals, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it, too. I mean, right now we're going to have the heat. In the winter, we could get it where it gets too cold, and I don't want it to lose any effectivity. So, I talked to Mr. Suarez, and we kind of talked about all the different things we could store out there. Some of it would be some of the kitchen things, the to-go boxes and trays and different things like that that take up a lot of room. We would be able to just basically go out the kitchen back door, and we'll put a door in that fence so that we could go right in there and we could grab that stuff. And
then limited people have the access and the keys.
Only would have certain people, right. We would store that. We would store paper things for the custodians, garbage bags, you know, the non-chemical things.
What about our other stores that we had? Is it gone?
Well,
definitely got fire.
Two Conexes down there, we have stuff stored down there, but there's a lot of mold in one of them, and we have a lot of rodent dung and everything else, and
it's so far away too.
It's out of the way. This would be, if we run out of trays, it would take 2 minutes to get a bag pack of trays. We are going to have to serve meals. They're all going to have to be contained and closed, and we've got to do everything we can to stop as much one-on-one and slow going through the line. So we have to get that down. So
do you have an approximate size, or you haven't gotten that far?
It would be anywhere between 8 and 10 feet wide and up to, the biggest I looked at for a price range that we could probably do would be up to 17 feet. They had one that was 10 by 17 that would give us enough storage. And it was vinyl, and it was only about $200 more than a 10 by 12 wood shed. So the only thing I worry about with vinyl is, just making sure the darn thing's going to stay together.
Yeah.
But with all the termites too, I don't know.
I don't know
that there's a real good answer. So we talked about it, and when I talked with Armando, when we get the cement for over here, we just thought we could put a slab down back here. But if I know where the garden is, and I didn't know there was a garden, I didn't ask Armando about it. He probably knows where it is. So we know what to avoid, and then we also know what size we can get. But whatever we can get for storage will help us. It's just really, really, there's a lot of room in the school, but not a lot of storage.
Right.
So.
Anything, Brisa?
No, nothing.
I would like to make a motion to approve action item E pertaining to the adding storage to the area in the old preschool playground.
I second that motion.
Aye.
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 All right. Action item F, presentation, discussion, and possible vote. Discontinuing the Dibbles reading fluency program?
Dibbles.
Dibbles.
Yeah. Dibbles. What's that all about?
Dibbles, it's a reading fluency program that's been used here. How it should be done, best case scenario, is that each teacher sits down with their children three times a year. And it takes maybe up to 45 minutes. In a real bad situation, an hour to go through reading, and they mark how many words the kids get right and how many words they get wrong. And then they learn then where the weaknesses are for kids for reading, and they also know whose strengths and all that kind of stuff. Okay, if you do Dibbles that way, and you have plenty of time and you don't have kids that struggle just going back from Spanish to English and all the different challenges that we may be facing, Dibbles is okay. But it takes a lot of time because it's at least, if you have 20-some kids in your class, it's about 2.5 to 3 days out of your classroom to do that. What we've been doing here for the last few years is they've been having the paras do the testing. Okay, so the paras take the kids out. They do the Dibbles testing. And they're not necessarily, I'm not going to say they're not trained, but paras are not the ones that are doing the teaching. They're not writing the lesson plans. They're not hitting all the targeted things for the students. So what happens is we're running a program, we're paying for the kids to run through the program, we're paying for a testing coordinator, and we're not really using the data. The only reason we have to have something with reading fluency is so that it works through our title programs. It gives us we can check a box and we can write down a score. Well, with the MAP test, we now have the ability to do the reading fluency in our MAP test, and all of our kids in every classroom can do the reading fluency in 30 minutes, the same 30 minutes, and we're not pulling kids in and out. They're not missing lessons. We don't have the teachers missing lessons. We don't have to have pairs doing the reading fluency. And, you know, that's the cost of DIBELS. DIBELS looks like a cheap program. It's like a dollar per kid for running the test, okay? But then you figure you're going to put a coordinator in there. So we pay the coordinator $1,000 or $1,500. And then we pay how much to the person that's taking those kids up to do the testing. And we do that testing all the way through fifth grade. So, you know, we have 150 kids. We test them three times a year. And every test takes, say, 40 minutes or 45 minutes by the time they walk in and out. Start figuring all the dollars and cents we put into it. It's a lot of money. So we were trying to look for something different. NWEA came up with the reading fluency. And in our trainings that we're going to do this fall, we're going to dig into so the teachers know how to look at the scores so they can actually see where the kids struggle instead of just getting a score that's on a national level and it doesn't really tell them a whole lot. I don't think they've ever had enough time to really dig into it. So hopefully with this training, because they had a training in the spring, this will be the second time they've heard it now, they'll be able to dig in and really look at where their kids are doing well and where they're struggling. So the other thing is we don't have to have a coordinator for it. Everything just comes back in our reports. It comes right to Julie's computer or, you know, to our system, and then it goes right out to the teachers. So we're not paying somebody $1,000 to $1,500 to basically send emails to tell everybody to hurry up, get their testing done, and collect the tests, send them in, and get them back, and there's the grades. So ultimately, that's with the reading fluency. With that, we're already the schools around us have already canceled all the fall sports. The fall sports are not going to happen. I don't foresee us getting involved in many if any sports this year. And I just look at it, and I love sports, okay? But I look at it like, how can we take and put kids out there and have them travel all over if we don't get to the point where we can get all of our kids in the building? Right. Once we get our kids back to educating them, then I think then we're good to go. But if we're homeschooling kids and online and we can only bring half of them in, I don't think that it's not safe. Mm-hmm. So if once it's safe, I mean, for me, then let's get going. But right now, I would recommend we put off the hiring of all coaches. Last spring, we paid coaches, you know, because we had already hired the coaches. We paid the coaches to have two or three practices, and they were, you know, beneficiaries of that. I mean, and I know they probably would have just assumed been coaching their kids, but it's a way for us to try to keep the budget in line, because we are going to be spending more money this year on things that we normally wouldn't with the COVID stuff. Along with that, student council. The student council, they're not going to be able to do activities. They can't meet in small groups or a bigger group in a small area. So I would move that we suspend that program for a year. And then hopefully, and maybe by next spring, I mean, maybe in March or February, I can come back to you and say, I really would like to invoke the program. We're back to school. Everything's going well. And they've got some different trainings coming up. But as of this point right now, I would recommend that we put all of that on ice. And we just hold on to it until we actually can use it. Those dollars will probably come in handy for us.
We don't really have a lot of choices either.
We don't. There's nobody else that's going to do the activities. You know, there aren't a lot of schools that are doing the junior high student council. I do think it's a good program. I just think that until you can meet and you can be involved and you can do some things, you're not able to really do it. So that's the rationale for what I'm recommending to you.
How'd you find out about reading fluency, and have we never heard about that before?
Well, DIBELS has been going on here for a long time.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's all I've ever known.
Yeah. Well, I always thought DIBELS was the best thing since sliced cheese and whatever. But then as I got into administration, I moved both of the schools that I was at previously had gotten rid of Dibbles, and it was really just because of all the classroom time the teachers had to take away. So, like, if we do it truly the way it should be done, we are taking a teacher out of that classroom for 2.5 days, 3 times a year. And that's 7.5 days of learning kids lose. You know, and I don't care, you can put a sub in there, you can have a pair go in there, you can whatever. It's not the same. So that's the rationale behind it. Now, if we do it for a year and everything goes to heck and all the wheels fall off the train, we'll revisit Dibbles. It's not like we don't have all the material and stuff and we couldn't get back into it. But Dibbles is actually going to a new program.
Right.
That's
so math fluency doesn't work out. We've never done it before.
Right.
That's not good, then we can always go back.
Well, I think it's a good thing to try something different. We've been
just
beating our head on the wall with that.
Just seeing it, and the thing I like about it is just it's 30 minutes.
Right.
And everybody's done.
Right.
So we're not wasting. I mean, the test will be 30 minutes longer for every one of our kids, K through 5.
Getting back in the classroom.
But then they're done after 30 minutes.
That's so great. Sounds good.
All right. I would like to make a motion to approve action item F, which is number one, discontinue Dibbles Reading Fluency Program. Number two, pause on hiring any athletic coaches. And number three, pause the Student Council Program. Get a second?
I'll second the motion.
Aye.
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 We move along to action item G, presentation discussion of possible vote regarding reopening plan.
All right. So in your packets, I gave you that multicolored on the top. There were a couple of A and B that were option one or option two that were red.
Mm-hmm.
Should look like this. Oh, didn't you get one?
No.
All right, I'll get this chapter. I'm done on that. So you know it anyway because I've already talked about it. But the first two options that we looked at, obviously what we would all like is a regular schedule, and that's not going to work right now. The second thing that we looked at was if we were able to bring all the kids in, but we had to alter times they came in and maybe go on shorter days. But it still won't help us with trying to get to that 5 to 6 feet minimum between all the students. So the third thing then that I went to was an A-B schedule. And the best way to explain it is I'll pick the third grade classroom. Doesn't matter. We're two sections all the way through. I'll pick the third grade classroom. So Ms. Dietrich's class will be Class A, and Ms. Torres' class will be Class B. So on Mondays, Ms. Dietrich's class will come to school. Half of them will start with Ms. Dietrich with English and social studies. The other half will start with Ms. Torres for math and science. And at halfway through the day, probably like right after lunch, Ms. Torres will go to Ms. Dietrich's room. Ms. Dietrich will go to Ms. Torres' room, so the students don't move.
That's great.
It's safer that way. We don't have people in different desks touching all the stuff. It's just the teachers that are moving. And then what we'll do is then Ms. Torres will teach the kids that were in Ms. Dietrich's group math and science. Ms. Dietrich will teach English and social studies. However, that's not necessarily how it is, but I mean, that's just an example. And then on Tuesday, Ms. Torres' class will come in. Half of them will go to Ms. Dietrich and teach. You know, she will teach the English and social studies half. And we'll go to Ms. Torres, math and science, switch halfway through. On Wednesday, we go back to Group A. They come in, and they split up exactly how we did it, okay? And then on Thursday, it's Ms. Torres' group. If I'm in Ms. Dietrich's class, okay, I got a packet for the whole week. On Monday, I'm in school. On Tuesday, I'm not in school. I go to the Google Classroom. I have the examples and the information, so if I don't have the internet, I can still do what the teacher wants me to do that day on these little assignments. I've got examples and information, but I can also turn on the computer or use the data from the cell phone, because the cell phones work for Google Classroom, and I can go in and I can watch the film that the teachers put together explaining how to do the problems that I've got to do right now. Okay. If that doesn't work, then what we have to do is open up communication at the end of the day when I have down for the teachers to have tutoring. And we would probably use either Google Classroom or ClassDojo to be able to communicate back and forth. So if Johnny's got a problem and doesn't understand it, at the end of the day, we can go back and forth with Mrs. Torres or Ms. Diedrich, and they can help explain it. Or they could actually even just call the school. What that does for us is it brings the classroom sizes down to 10 kids. I think one of the classes would have 11 kids. One of the, I think there's 22 in one class. But it would bring it down to about 10 kids or less in each classroom, and that allows us to get at least 6 feet spread out. And we will also take with the seating, and we will face all of the kids in the same direction so that they... We will not have any kids sitting around a table looking at each other. So if anybody's breathing or they're sick and they sneeze or cough, it doesn't go on the other kids. That's what, from our superintendent meetings that we've had, we all pretty much agreed that we're going to try to all go to desks. But in case we have tables, the idea is that we're going to have all the kids facing the same direction. A lot of the schools around are really looking at this AV schedule. From our last discussion, it was just us and Douglas that were looking at it. And after we talked through it in the meeting, there were quite a few schools that I think are probably going to go to this AV schedule for this. Along with that, I just gave you some other ideas. The thing is I just want everybody to understand that there's nobody that has all the answers. We don't know what's exactly going to happen. We can only plan, and then when we have to adjust the plans to be successful, we will. Our meals are going to end up being grab-and-go type meals. Breakfasts are going to be, they'll be placed out. We'll probably have to put a table out, not right off of that gray tray, but a table out in front. The kids will have to come in. When they come to school, they'll come in, they'll grab a breakfast, and they'll go to their classroom and eat. And then the teachers are going to have to make sure that they get everything into the garbage. Because the state doesn't want us to have kids congregate, you know, in a big area. The lunches, we're going to get the to-go boxes that we had this summer. They work very well. Donna found a couple of places, or one place that we can get a mass orders of them. So that actually we'll be doing in the next week and a half, trying to have our breakfast and lunch programs ready. But that, too, we're trying to figure out how we can do it. We may end up having a few kids, one or two classes, eating in here, sitting all facing the same direction, spread out, put X's where they can sit, type of a thing.
It's going to be hard to control.
Lunch is going to be very difficult, but again, we're only going to have one first grade class, one second grade class, one, you know, so it's going to be more sparsely populated.
Right.
What I don't want to do is I don't want to have kids eat in their classroom for breakfast, eat in their classroom for lunch, never be able to get outside, and, you know, they've got to get out. It's just going to be really a challenge to get first, second, and third grade kids to understand that we get to go outside and move around, but don't get too close to anybody,
right.
You know. That's going to be a challenge, but, you know, we'll do the best with it. Busing, we have ordered two misters. We will clean every classroom every night with the mister. We will clean all of the big areas with the mister, and we will clean the buses every day with a mister. You know, the only thing is we are not going to get a mister out there right after they come in the morning before they go back for the afternoon. And with the afternoon kindergarten, we have to find out how many kids are going to have transportation there. But that's still in the area, but we will have the buses wiped down just like the classrooms are sprayed clean. That disinfectant that we ordered kills everything within 10 minutes. So
that's the air dry.
Yep, and then it dries very quickly. So I thought it was within 30 minutes it's dry. So, you know, that's good. With that schedule, too, I don't know where we're at on Fridays. If we can go a half a day and then do the other half a day super cleaning, so 1 week we have the A kids, and next week we have the B kids, or if we need that much time to really do deep cleaning and, you know, getting into the cracks and wiping everything down, I think that's something we'll find out as we go along.
But those be days you have to make up?
Well, and that's why we wanted, we're going to start on the 10th.
Right.
Because right now, any days that you miss, you have to make up. So we're going to have the 5th, 6th, and 7th right now that we have to make up. I've got a call I'm making tomorrow to AD. And with that, we're going to find out about that summer lunch program and how, if we still qualify, because if you move your start date back, they said that you can qualify for that summer lunch program, which means we're able to feed everybody free again. And then they just pay us, which I would like to do as much as possible. Oh, with that, just so you know, I applied for a grant. We got a $1,500 grant from this summer and spring for our food program. And we applied for another grant today. If we're able to get back into that summer lunch program again, that we'll find out hopefully tomorrow, a $15,000 grant that they would fill in the void for anything that you know, that we aren't making enough money on with our summer lunch program. So that was exciting. Teachers are going to report on the 31st, and I have a tentative schedule kind of there, and you can see there's a lot of room to fill in. The teachers, we're going to be working on the Google Classroom, on getting our work packet set up, on understanding how we're going to need to work together, probably having a couple of arm wrestling matches to see who gets to teach math and who gets to teach English, but we'll get that figured out, and then that allows everybody to basically have a whole week of planning before we have to implement everything for the August 10th date. Hourly staff, we are going to do our very best to get them the hours that they would normally get, but they may not get all of the hours every week. We're not going to make up work or pay somebody for not working. The state's not going to approve that this time through, but we are going to be using extra help on the bus monitor with thermostats, or thermometers, I should say, checking the temperatures. We're going to have three people here in the mornings checking the temperatures as they come into the building. If they come in and they
got check every single student?
Every staff member also.
Okay, but everybody...
Adults as well?
Everyone.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what if somebody... So let's say that people go back across the line and come back. How are we going to recheck them?
There's no rechecking. If you come in and you have a 100-degree temperature, we're sending you home. You come back tomorrow.
Okay, but if he leaves and comes back, like if he forgets something, he goes back home and he comes back, he'll get rechecked? Or
They're not going to be able to come in, so... until they've been cleared by that, and then after we start school, it'll end up being on Miss Talia's, and probably we'll probably have to have a pair out there by the gate.
Right. And
about
even like
10 minutes after we start.
The parents go to the office and check in. People don't do that.
No.
They still just come in and walk on through. So you might have to close some gates and lock them up. You know?
Well, we're going to close the one down here by the PE. I'm not going to have like five areas they can walk in. We'll have the parent drop-off area open. Yeah. We'll have one person standing there because we get less there. We'll put two people out here at the main gate, and then they'll be the only two that are going to be open.
Well,
so
and
even
the kids
for
that
our
come
staff,
in late, though. What about the kids that come in late and they just go straight to their classrooms?
Well, what we'll do is we'll leave a pair out there for 15 minutes or so. If they come in later than that, I don't know how we're going
to
be able to
coordinate
it off.
Have to please
but if
them.
There's a way, if there's a way that we can put something so they can't just go towards like Miss Franco's room, so that they have to come straight towards the office. That's the only thing. I guess I haven't had a chance to really think about how we would do that. But
you know, Sonora, the virus is just going bonkers.
Well, it's going pretty strong here too. It's
even Douglas Unified School District, they had five people tested positive.
That was in one building.
They shut down the district, yeah.
In one building, they had five. So, anyway, I mean, we're going to do our very best to make sure everybody gets all the hours that they can, but we're not going to have any luck with it.
Are you hearing any flack from your staff?
I had a couple of people that maybe had a couple of comments, but I mean, they always do. So, you know, I mean, we're never going to please everybody with anything we do. We're going to do our best.
May I?
Oh, I thought you were saying you were one of the squeaky wheels.
Oh,
I thought you were like, well, I was one. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a question, if it's okay. Have you gotten any guidance from the state about, especially with an AV type schedule, about how the teachers are supposed to take attendance. What is it, what makes a child considered present or not?
The state has not decided what the state said.
And how would they get funded?
They threw the ball over the net and put it in our court and said part of your plan for a hybrid plan is you must explain how you're going to do attendance.
Okay.
So we're going to be as general and lenient as we can, because some kids, you know how our internet is. I mean, they might be able to be on, and then they get booted off, and they can't get back on for a while. So some of the schools, at least in our superintendent meetings, the plans that a lot of people are saying is that if kids check in with their teacher, and that's why we want the teachers to go to dojo for a while in the afternoon, as long as the kids check in during the day with the teachers, and we can find a way, and I'm not sure how we can show who's logged on and logged off with Google Classroom. That's one of the things I'm going to have
go through,
Mr. Rodriguez.
There's a log
but
of who is actually.
If there's a way to use that and the conversations, we'll use all of that for attendance.
Okay. Thank you.
So basically, we're going to probably do the attendance after the day's over.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, the other thing we always have had problems with is contacting parents, because a lot of times they're on the other side. They have a cell phone, it doesn't work, we can't get a hold of them. You go to that place where they live and it's an empty lot. And so it's going to be hard because Missy Lee is going to have to really be on task and getting a phone number and getting a backup number, your Nana's number or something.
Well, and that's one of the things that she has done is I know she's made plenty of phone calls after they've dropped off the stuff just to double check. So I think the numbers are working so far, but you're right. Those numbers might only work for a couple of months.
Every student here has a legal guardian in the United States. So these legal guardians need to start taking some responsibility and making sure that...
Legally, we're...
Making sure that their kids are getting some medication.
They are the only ones we contact.
We had one lady that had 25 kids. She's a guardian for them.
Yeah. She's a legal guardian. She's a legal guardian.
Now.
She's a legal guardian.
Yeah.
We don't make contact with the parents down
yes,
in Mexico.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We should.
We shouldn't. You're right. We shouldn't.
That's not the
way it works.
And if we are, we need to.
We need to talk to Missy Lee.
And that's what we've been trying to make sure that people understand when they bring their slips in for guardians, or we have parents. Bring slips in and somebody says that they're staying with them.
Right.
And
we dealt with the judge. We tried talking to the judge. There's only one guardianship judge. And the other thing is that, like, some of the kids, I mean, we would have kids left after school. I mean, like kindergartners, nobody would pick them up. I mean, people would be in the office for hours.
Yeah,
there was all the numbers, nobody's number worked. There was no house where they said they lived. And people just, they'd be left here till like 6 in the evening sometimes.
We've been lucky, knock on wood or fake wood or whatever.
No doubt.
That by law, the contact is supposed to go to the guardian.
Well, it's kind of
so
trying to crack down on this stuff
anyway,
for health reasons. So, good job. Good luck.
Well, it'll take a bit because they're a little tougher on that. All right.
We're like uncharted territory here in this whole business.
We're on action item G.
Oh, G, okay.
You want to make a motion on that?
Oh, G. Yes, I'd like to move that we accept item G regarding the reopening plan.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 All right. You have three pictures. I'm sorry they're not in color, but we have the three different pieces of equipment. I did not take pictures of the recliner.
Sorry, were we supposed to select an option on G?
The first two options won't work right now.
Okay.
So that was option three. What we're proposing as soon as we can get kids back in the door would be to go with option three.
Okay.
Yes. The preschool playground equipment, there are three pieces. Actually, had a couple people talk to me about them. And so what the plan would be after you approve this is we would post pictures online, and we would run this through. I've always run it through the business manager's office So Donna would be in charge of keeping track of bids that people make. They have the ability to come in, they have the ability to call us, and they can email us with a bid. Those are the three ways that they can bid on the preschool playground equipment, and then the furniture that we decide we're going to get rid of, probably like one or two of the couple of the lounge chairs. We'll put it all up for bids, leave it open for 2 weeks, and allow the people to go through. Today is the 14th, right? So what I would like to do is I would like to say at noon on the 31st. My rationale is let the staff come back because maybe they might want to buy a recliner and we can get more money. I know a couple of staff members asked me about if we ever were going to do that. But I know we do have at least a couple people interested in the playground stuff. So between the three pieces, I think we'll be able to sell them all.
That's good.
So, yeah, I mean, somebody can use it because right now it's just been sitting there.
Really? You know,
and then it's there
for kids. Well, because the sun won't last long.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the nice thing is where it is, it's been under shade. So that's, you know.
And every time we've donated stuff like that to the other side, it just disappears. Remember we gave all those desks down there, mm-hmm. their little kindergarten class, and then a guy that opened down here went down to check and see how it was going with the desk, because they're all sitting on cinder blocks with paper.
Oh,
the desks were gone. I'm like, where's the desk? Well, we sold them. We had to sell them. So
that would be the motion, I guess, to allow us to post the preschool, and then we will take a picture of the recliners, and we'll put that. We'll put it all on the website. And then all of the bids would go through Donna.
Right. I would like to make a motion to approve action item H to put preschool equipment and furniture up for bids.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Action item I, discussion and possible vote on looking into purchasing the house at 3810 Geisler Avenue.
All right. And I worded it that way for a couple of reasons. Number one, I would recommend that we'll table that motion, but by wording it that way, it allows you to take, and we will at some point in time, either tonight or if we have a special meeting, because we're going to have at least one coming up, that you are able to have a closed or executive session to discuss the matter. By wording it that way. So that's why I worded it that way. You know, I had somebody asked me a question about it today, and I've given you the information on the house, that's the newest information we've got. We have the ability to go over and take a look at that house when we close tonight, or you have the ability to close right now, go over and look at it, come back and open up again. But I think that it might be better to do it the other way, because I do know we're going to have some type of a
second meeting
yeah. coming up and before we get going with school. So I guess my recommendation would be, instead of going to executive session now, go after we're done with the meeting, go take a look at the house, and then you have a couple of days and you know to think things through and look at stuff and kind of formulate things in your mind. We're able to go back to a meeting, and that can be part of that meeting. And then you can have an executive session to go through it, because in the executive session, you have the ability to talk about real estate matters and things like that and get any legal advice that you would need, or just to have an open discussion about it.
Okay.
So, but I have given you, I think you all have this paper, correct, with all the information.
Mm-hmm.
If you need another one, I do.
1915? That's kind of historic.
It was
house.
A good year, yeah.
It doesn't look old, that's for sure.
So.
May I ask what the house is for?
What?
May I ask what the house is for?
Well, a lot of schools around, there are plenty in Arizona that have some houses for either teachers or some people when they come into an area when there's no place really to live. And what they do, what the schools do, is they basically will buy the house. They don't have to pay real estate taxes on it. So it becomes part of the school's property. But with that, then they turn around and they rent that out for whatever their payments are. And whoever they rent it to then picks up basically the mortgage payments on it and then covers the utilities and whatever. So there are a lot of schools that do it. You get into a town like Naco, there's not a lot. So when you're out there, when they go search for a new administrator, whatever that is, or maybe you bring in two or three teachers like we did last year, it was really a hassle to find a place for them. So to have an opportunity to at least look at that, especially since it's right across the street, and depending upon how you financed and did things, you could get the payments down to a free.
Interesting. Thank you.
So yeah, there are a lot of schools that have them. So we wouldn't be by far the first one to look at that anyway.
Actually, we had talked about this for years and years, because whenever we talk to administrators that aren't from here, and then you get people that are coming in like from another country, there's nothing really rent down here. And whenever the girls came in, I mean, there was a couple things that came up really looked good, and before we could even have some resolution, they were gone. But the other thing is that you can, like, let's say we have an administrator, that could also be part of the pay that we pay them that wouldn't necessarily be out of pocket, because that'd be one of the things that come with the job, you know, is to have a place.
You can make it part of the package.
And would sell it as part of our package, right? And so, however, you know, I have to say, though, in reality, that price, if that's really her bottom line, she technically could go online and probably sell that for a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's what we would go into an executive session.
I know. See, a lot of people, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, if we're okay with tabling that, if one of you wants to make a motion, then we table that for the...
That works.
Next meeting.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to table action item I, and possibly have like another board meeting or a special meeting and have it in executive session.
I would like to second that motion.
Aye.
All right, quickly, my report. Waterline project is done, almost. They've got almost all the backfill done.
So what about the accident where they ripped up the things? We're not paying for their accident, right?
No, and actually, I have no idea who put the water lines in, but let me tell you what.
It's a mess.
If you've ever done a crossword puzzle with 5,000 pieces, you multiply that by 10, and that's what it was like. There were pieces of 1 inch, well, first of all, it was 1 inch pipe, okay? And so what he's put in is 2 inch pipe. So when our sprinklers go off now, I mean, we actually water the lawn. But there were multiple places where a pipe was coming and it would go up, over, down, and then back another direction. And, I mean, it was crazy.
Was it old? Do you think that doesn't date back to our old building? That had to do with our new, that has to be where we put in our new building. Though.
Some of it was PVC, but most of it was the old
metal,
corroded, I think it's iron or steel or what. I don't think it's copper. Wow. I think it was before copper was popular. you know, it was bad. It really was. And then every time he'd get one section done and he'd hook it up and he'd do a test, he'd blow another section of the old stuff. So, I mean, it was, thank goodness we got it done, because yeah, it was really...
And we got our money's worth, it sounds like.
Yeah, it worked out well. The water, we've got better pressure now than we've had. So that's good. So hopefully it works and continues to work for a long, long, long time. There were a few glitches and a couple things that slowed him down. He actually broke, I think, five or six different things on his machine, and he broke a jackhammer. He had to buy a new jackhammer.
Was this Raul?
He said the ground was the hardest ground he's ever.
It is. It's policey. It's really bad.
And then there were some parts that weren't so bad, but boy, oh boy, there were some. It was like going through.
Poor
some.
Guy.
The plans for reopening we already talked about. One of the besides safety, which is the main thing for me, is the other biggest thing is trying to figure out how the state's going to count ADMs, and like Julie said, how are we going to do attendance? So we're hoping that the state gives us a little bit of guidance. But the other day, the governor came on and really didn't say much. He answered one question about education. And he really made it sound like he's going to do what he did with the mayors and just turn everything over to local control.
Right.
And so if he does that, then we will do the wisest decisions that we can make and make sure that it's as safe as we possibly can. And we're following all the CDC guidelines. Summer food service, that summer food program that we ran, which actually was more spring food program, the number that I gave you last time was actually the right number that they gave us money, but they gave us the wrong amount of money. So they gave us like $160,000 more than they should have given us. So we got a little over $30,000 for our service. So had they given us $190,000, it would have been really good. But we got
so
30.
We profited pretty handsomely.
We would have profited really handsomely had we gotten 190. 30,000 still leaves us, in the red. But it could have been worse. But I think we learned a lot of how to run the program, and we may qualify for that program again now after my phone call tomorrow. And if we do, we would likely start that summer food program tomorrow, next week. So I'll let you guys all know when I'm done with my call where I'm at, what we found out. The community program for community-wide free lunch fell through because we do not have enough people who have been signed up for food stamps, WIC, SNAP, or other social programs. And so we need to get that number up.
We don't have enough kids?
No, because what happens is, as we talked about with the people who are our guardians and things, they have to sign up. If they sign up for, if they have enough kids with them, two or three or whatever, that spreads their income out. And then if they go and sign up for those programs, now all of a sudden we have four more kids that say they have four kids under. We have four more kids that are under there. Now we just tacked on a pretty good percent to our number. But because we were under 40% or something, we need to get over that 40% of kids that actually are members of these programs. So that's going to be an emphasis for us. Trying to get people, and I know that some people don't, want to be in those programs, but they are helpful to us, and they help us with title funding and everything else when they fill out the free and reduce. We purchased good, reusable cloth face masks for all members of the staff. We will likely give every staff member one black one and one white one. We have gloves, we have hand sanitizer. We have been battling for Clorox wipes. I have driven around the greater Phoenix area two different weekends to find one four-pack of Clorox wipes at all of the Sam's and Costco stores that I could go to. So we have been ordering them and paying a little bit more, but we need to make sure we had all that stuff on hand.
Sometimes you see them at the dollar stores, just kind of hit and miss, though,
Yeah, it's the Clorox wipes are hit and miss all over. At every store, sometimes they have them, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you walk into a Target and you see them, but usually that's when I don't have anything, any money or anything with me. So, or when Donna goes and doesn't have the school credit card or something. We're in the middle of registrations right now. I would say our numbers are down a little, but that's really hard to tell because, as everybody says, we get so many late registrations.
It's always like that every year.
And then
even after school starts. So
COVID numbers are, all over the southern part of the United States, Mexico, Latin America, the numbers are high right now. So, we just follow the protocol, wear your masks, all that kind of stuff. One of the things that we've done over the last month is we've sent out procurement letters to plumbers, electricians, and HVAC companies. Donna's in the process of getting out letters to gasoline, diesel, and mechanics because if you have the procurement letters signed and they tell you how much they'll charge you, now as long as you know, we hope to get at least three, but we sent out 14 letters, well, between 9 and 14 letters to all three of those areas, and I think we've gotten two plumbers back, one electrician, and one or two HVACs. So we're trying to get some more in, but by having those, then we can just turn around and hire somebody because we already went through the process if it's, you know, if the wage tire is the lowest hourly rate. This also helps us for our audits, so we'll make sure that that's all done. Still trying to get more information. We had another roofer come last week. He said we need to have the roof on this building replaced. There's two roofs up there, and they're both leaking.
Guy
that came thought maybe he could repair it, and the guy before that said to replace it, and the guy before that said to repair it. But so far, we've gotten zero bids or quotes back. So we're waiting. Because
is
we need
glass?
To have
is
three
it...
quotes in hand. There's a lot of holes where water runs down the wall in this, okay. on this back
this
side
isn't
here.
This isn't a slant, is it?
He said, actually, he said that roof over there, whoever built that, they did a heck of a job. He said that's really well built. It's
that was
just
different.
A little older or dried out, some of the areas. He said this one here, It was a new idea when they put it on, and he said,
experimental.
It's, yeah, and the problem that they have is when they put the second roof on, they just cut around the HVAC systems, and then they just put it on top. So they didn't really take everything off the roof and then put it back on the roof.
See, when they tore down our old school, which is perfectly good in my opinion, but when they did all this other new work, it was so awful. I mean, it was a disaster. Water, I mean, grass growing out of the corners, and I mean, it's crazy stuff.
I just heard you put the cracks in the block.
It was horrible. I mean, we got this new building, it was 10 times worse than our old building was.
We have a room that we've cleaned a couple of times, but it had black mold in it. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things, but we've done a lot with the outside trying to make it more weatherproof. We've done a lot of the caulking. We caulked all of that stuff all the way around the buildings. So, I mean, it's going to be better this year, but until we are able to replace the roof. And until we get three bids, and then we have to go through the whole process, because we won't be able to do it like we did last time, an emergency thing, because we don't have a geyser blowing, you know. Yeah. But that helped us move up the ladder a lot quicker. But there's certain things, and one of them is to have three bids. So we're hopeful that we can at least get the first bid, and then we're trying to backtrack and call these other guys that told us they were going to get us bids. But it's been a long and frustrating process, I'll say. Also, our goal was to have Chromebooks for grades 5 through 8. Actually, our goal was by next year to have Chromebooks for 5 through 8. We really thought we could do it this year. We are going to have Chromebooks for grades 6 through 8. And what we did was we looked at two different machines, and one of the machines was much cheaper, same brand, but much cheaper, less memory, RAM, some type of memory, and it was slower, okay? And the other one was twice as fast or faster than twice as fast. It had triple the memory, maybe quadruple the memory. Anyway, what we did was we bought enough of these for 6, 7, and 8. But we couldn't get enough for the fifth grade. Right. So grades 6, 7, 8 are all going to have their own Chromebooks every day, all day long. And they'll get them. We're going to have it set up so they can check them out. Probably going to be in the computer room. Probably going to be in Mr. Rodriguez's room, because we tried.
And these are taking home?
No, they will not.
Oh, good. So you'll never see those things.
Not right now. I mean, in case of an environment, we would have to look at things, because if we have kids that don't have devices at home, they can't go across the board.
Right. Yeah.
Because then we lose all jurisdiction. And if it's someone here, we at least have some legal power. If they take it home and all of a sudden it doesn't come back. The problem is, you know, what I've seen in the past when I've had kids who have taken items home is sometimes they're used for purposes they shouldn't be used for.
Right.
And it's usually not the kids necessarily who are doing it, but somebody else at home doing it. So the plan is right now that they will not, they will be able to check them out immediately when they get to school, and they will check them in before they leave at the end of the day. And they will plug them in, and they will all have a certain number, and they'll have a certain serial number and all that stuff. And
who's going to be monitoring that? Who's checking them in and out?
That will be Mr. Rodriguez will be in there, and I may have to have someone else in there to help him. At that point in time, when we have students back, Ms. Morgan will likely be helping the kindergartners with the iPads. But if she isn't needed, or I could use Mr. Valdez, Victor, he helps in that room a lot. So I could have him because he would be between the math room and the computer room anyway. So I just will have enough people, and we'll have a chart. The kids will all know their number. And honestly, after 1 week, they know which card and which number.
Right.
But that first week, they'll have to do that. And I think it's an opportunity for our kids. I think it's, you know, we talk about being proud and working and doing your best. I think this is an opportunity for the kids to see. You know, we're trying to do everything we can for you. We're trying to give you the best education, give you good equipment, get you what everybody else maybe has and maybe better than other people have. So,
what if they do that and then one does disappear? I mean, do you have a backup plan? I mean, about responsibility?
Well, they're actually, I got a contract. But the kids and the parents will have to sign a little contract. Yeah.
But if you had a deposit put down, it's still going to cost more to replace it than it is for a deposit.
Right.
Unless kids don't have anything.
What we looked at with the, and then we also are going to be able to give the staff all a laptop. From the laptops that we purchased a couple of years ago, because every one of our teachers is basically an ESL teacher, so we can actually use those for the teachers so that they can plan their lessons. So with those, we're going to do something very similar where we'll have the computer and everything, but we'll talk to the teachers so they all know what that computer's worth. And if something happens to that computer, the warranties, honestly, when you get those computers, most of the time the warranties aren't pretty good on them.
Anyway. That's true.
But we'll have a thing where if something happens, you know, that this is the amount that it will cost you to please take care of it. The other thing is we're going to ask every teacher to have a carrying case. And we talk about, right, we've spent so much money on things that I don't know if we've got the money right now to go and buy 20 of those carrying cases or not. But I think some of the teachers would probably like to have their own anyway, because if we give them a black one, they would rather have a blue one or whatever, you know. So I think we'll see how many of them want to get their own case. And if we have some, I know Julie said she has some. I think I have about 4 at home. We found one in the back room. So we probably have 6, 7, 8 of them that we could let people use. They're just not real fancy, and they're not brand new. So I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to go out and buy a bunch of cheap ones that'll fall apart. If you have one, you want it to protect your stuff. So, but I think that's exciting. I really think the kids are going to like that.
Yeah,
I think
like
it's
that.
A way to show the kids that we believe in them, which I think goes a long way.
And some of them can probably be tracked anyway because of the way the devices are now, right?
The iPads that I'm more familiar with can be tracked at least somewhat. I imagine that there's a similar system on these Chromebooks, but I'm not familiar with it.
Right. Okay.
Is there going to be a particular app that's going to be used for the Chromebook? So, like, let's say I decide to buy my own Chromebook for my son, I can download the app and have him log in from home. Is that something that's going to be possible?
You know, I have to talk to Julie is more the Mac lady and Mr. Rodriguez.
I'm imagining that the and I'm just conjecture, but I'm guessing that probably what the teachers will mostly have the students doing will be with the web browser, you know, like the it won't be a particular special app.
Okay.
There may be an app that students can download that ties in with the reading program. But I don't know that the junior high uses that reading program or if they would use it or not. I think mostly it's just going to be internet.
Okay. So
research projects and.
Also, I mean, you wouldn't need anything special per se.
So they can log into the web browser from home and maybe do some work.
I think you're going to want like Microsoft Word and Excel on there so that they can do some.
Well, yes and no. In fact, I'll lean toward the no, because with the Google Classroom, the students will have access to all the word processor.
From the Google Classroom.
It's all within the Google Classroom.
So that we don't have to purchase licenses.
Yeah, we don't have to have Microsoft licenses for Word or PowerPoint, or that's all available tied into that Google
Classroom. Okay,
all
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Chromebook is Google.
Right.
So it's already included in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah. I really think that the kids are going to like it. And you know, the message we had last year with the kids was always, you know, be proud, you know, work hard, do your best all the time. We believe in you. I think this is a good way to show them that we're doing everything we can for you.
Yeah, it's a trust and it's an honor for them to have something they might not be able to.
So I think they'll really like it.
I think so too.
And I honestly think the teachers are going to like having a laptop that they can take home. Because when a teacher goes home and they get sick, they don't have something already here. You know, it's a bugger to do lesson plans.
And do we have to buy more laptops?
No, we actually had ordered 30. So we had a cart. And so...
And how old are those? You mean?
2 years. Oh. So they're still pretty
viable.
New. Yeah. They're still pretty good. They'll be good for probably 4 more years. But that would be a... You know, I mean, I think technology-wise, for me, if you were going to say, what's your plan, I want to expand it to the fifth grade. Our goal is really, when Julie becomes a fifth grader, she gets a Chromebook, and that Chromebook stays with her all the way until she's done with eighth grade. And we take that Chromebook, and we turn it down, and we allow the fourth graders to use it. And then when they become fifth grade, they get a new Chromebook. Because Chromebooks are going to be good for about 5 years. If we're lucky, 6 or 7, but 5 years is generally what they figure. And they're less expensive than iPads.
Right.
So, you know, actually getting a Chromebook versus an iPad
is good enough.
iPads are good for, I think, 6 or 7, but Chromebooks generally, my old tech person always told me, figure 5, and if you're lucky, you'll get 7.
Yeah. Well, forgive me for my, you know, suspicious nature, but... Even like they have these, like those babies at the high school that you have to turn a key to shut them up.
Yeah.
I mean, those kids lose those things. They're $2,000, and you have to sign a thing saying you're going to replace it. My mom and them went to church one day, and somebody had a banner went on the front steps of the church. You know, I mean, like I don't want
to. I was
baby
so glad that my daughters never had that.
Me too.
I had kids in class, and that baby would start crying.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah,
take it somewhere.
You know.
Out of curiosity, what website is going to be? Because I remember a lot of the universities are using the Blackboard. Yeah, Blackboard.
Okay. Yeah, the Blackboard is this Google Classroom is a similar sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Where the teacher can publish assignments and they can record lessons and there's a mechanism by which the students can hand work back into the teacher through this online.
So it's similar to Blackboard.
Right, yep.
Brisa, can you hear us at all, what we're talking about?
I can hear you. I'm kind of, it's hard to hear Mr. Macklin a little bit because he's kind of far, but,
yeah.
And I understand what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
So, yes, I can.
I just wanted to tell you we didn't forget about you.
No.
So ultimately our goal, I mean, if I were going to tell you in the next couple of years, would be to expand out to the fifth grade, and then we would start looking at some different things that we can add for technology in the elementary, be it whether it's a smart board or we do something on that line where we can get more interaction with the kids. It just depends. The hardest thing is everything that we go out and purchase has a lifespan.
Right.
And, you know, it's not a long lifespan.
Yeah, you create this beast, you have to keep feeding.
Right. Yeah. So you know.
But that's our world now.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. But, I mean, there are certain things out there that I think maybe are worth a little more than certain other things. So we don't want to chase every shiny object, but what we want to do is try to figure out what's going to be best for our kids and how we best spend the money. And, you know, this year was important to get 6 through 8, the Chromebooks, because I really think next year's going to be a tough budget year in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough. I really look for them to put some big cuts on for us.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
So that'll be a not fun time, but that's okay. So if we are, is there any other questions?
Not I.
No. Lisa?
No.
No, I'm fine.
All right, so we're going to want to make a motion to adjourn the meeting, but we are going to, as a board, members have the ability to go over and look at the house across the street on Geisler Avenue.
Yeah.
You're going to want to make that motion that way, because that way too.
So we're not shutting down our meeting.
Well,
we're going to close our meeting.
We're just adjourning.
Right. Oh, good. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
And then you'll be able, when you're done, you know, you can look at the house and you can leave.
You can go
ask
home.
Questions to the owner. You know, you can pick weeds for her, whatever you want to do. up to you.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Good job.
Who is going to make that motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting, but we are going to go as a board to take a look at the residents across the street.
So it'll be 6:31.
And second the motion?
Mrs. Seconds, aye.
Aye.
Aye.